Welcome to Asbury. I'm Brother Hammett, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. As you prepare to worship with us on our live stream, I invite you to make space wherever you are for worship, if you're able. You may want to silence your devices and make yourself comfortable, maybe light some candles. Please do take just a moment and let us know that you're here. You can do that in a couple of different ways. The first way is to scan the QR code on your screen. All you have to do is open the camera on your phone or smart device and aim it at the screen, and you'll receive an invitation to open our sign-in webpage. Or you can just make a comment in the chat or like the video. If you're looking for a church home, you're always welcome at Asbury. If you'd like to visit about joining the Asbury family, just email me at the address below, and I'd be glad to work out a time when we can visit. I pray that God blesses you through this service today. We'll begin in just a moment.
How is everybody? Happy Father's Day. And you know, I can't think of a better thing to do than to stand and worship our Father in heaven. Amen? Let's do that together. Stand and join us this morning. On this Father's Day morning, we're going to let you know you're in the Father's house. You're welcome here. You're loved. Sing it out.
Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. If my story isn't over, my story's just begun. Yeah, failure won't define me, cause that's what my Father does.
Sing that again, failure.
Failure won't define me, cause that's what my Father does.
Here we go.
Father's in the room. No, oh,
This next one is called New Wine. The song is just asking God to lead us to whatever He needs us to be for His kingdom. It says, make me a vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. Sing with us.
In the crush, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand.
Here we go.
So make me a vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. Lord, I came here with nothing, but all you have given me, Jesus, make a new wine out of me. In the crushing, in the pressing, oh, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. You are breaking a new ground. Make me a vessel. So make me a vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. God, I came here with nothing, but all you have given me, Jesus, make a new wine. Make a new wine out of me. Because where there's new wine, there is new power, there is new freedom, and the kingdom is here. I lay down my old flames to carry your new fire today. So make me a vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. God, I came here with nothing, but all you have given me, Jesus, make new wine out of me.
Have a seat. Good morning and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. It is a joy to be in worship with you today. I pray that this time of worship together is a blessing. I want to welcome everyone who is joining us and watching online. Thank you for being with us. We pray that this is a time of blessing for you as well. Just a few announcements before we get started. First of all, it's really good to have Caleb back with us this week after a few weeks off.
Well, and let me just say, thank you to Jennifer and the Launch Band volunteers and the Prison Band for allowing me to, you know, recover well. So it's so glad to, I'm so glad to be back with you, but I do want to thank everybody that's kept this rolling.
Amen. We are so thankful. So if you, when you walked in today, you should have received a tab for attendance, a Connect tab. Please take a moment and fill that out when you can, and then drop it in the offering plate as they bring those by. That's our new way to track attendance, and so if you could help us with that, we'd appreciate it. If you're watching online, there should be a QR code for you to scan. Today, first of all, above all else, happy Father's Day to all of you fathers, dads that are with us this morning here and online. Happy Father's Day to all of the dads we are remembering today that have gone on to their eternal rest. We thank God for every single one of them and are thankful for the ways that they impacted lives while they were with us. But all of you dads are truly special, and we're thankful for each and every one of you. Next Sunday is going to be a big week in the life of our church here at Asbury. First of all, it's going to be the kickoff for our Vacation Bible School 2022, our first Vacation Bible School in a couple of years. Amen? I am getting a lot of cheap applause today, and I really, really appreciate it. But we are going to start next Sunday our VBS kickoff with a food truck party, a food truck celebration from 11:30 to 1. Am I correct on the time? And so we'll have a food truck here, so please plan on having lunch with us next week. Now, here are a couple of things that we need. We need help with setup and with takedown. So if there is anybody that can arrive at 9 a.m. next Sunday morning to help set up chairs and tables outside, we would really, really appreciate it. And then we'll need a group to help take down the tables and chairs and stuff afterwards. Now, that is normally a job for the youth because they are great cheap labor, amen? But next Sunday, subsequently, is also Stone Soup. And so the youth will be heading over to Stone Soup to serve at Quapaw Quarter UMC. We invite you to join us at 1:30 over there to be the hands and feet of Christ in our community. It's a beautiful mission that we're part of. We are starting a new series this morning called For Freedom. We're going to spend the next few weeks in the book of Galatians. Brother Hammett will kick off that series this morning. It's a wonderful message. I heard it in the 9 o'clock service, and so I pray that it's a blessing to you. And the last announcement, the final report, is that our youth group has made it back from Alabama. We made it back on Friday. We returned with the same kids that we left with, which Amen. Is first and foremost, that's always the goal, and you always hope you don't have a stowaway from another state. But I'll tell you what was beautiful, and this is the best part of this trip. We did a lot of great work. We worked hard. We retired. We poured a lot of sweat. We had our church, a Baptist church, and a Lutheran church there serving together. And these kids didn't care about denominational stuff. What they cared about was coming together, being the hands and feet of Christ. They made some new, dear friends all over the country. And so it was just a beautiful thing to see. We overcame a bit of adversity. I'm wearing a mask today because we did have one positive COVID case while we were there. Everybody else is negative, but I'm going to wear this morning. And then our bus spent a day in a shop. So those are all part of a mission trip. But I thank you for the prayers. I thank you for the support. And we can't wait to do it again. And with that, let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we thank you so much for this beautiful morning, for this ability to come together and gather here in the Wilson Activity Center, in the online space, to praise and glorify your name. Now, we all come here today in different conditions, in different headspaces, with different troubles and different concerns going on in our lives. But we also know that our lives are full of abundant praise and joy because of the blessings that you pour into us. The blessings you pour into us that are for us, and the blessings you pour into us that serve as a blessing to other people. We gather this morning for no other reason, God, than to glorify you and to thank you for us being counted among your children. God, we pray this morning for all of those who are hurting, for all of those who are in need of your healing and your love. We pray this morning specifically for Clifford Smith and for June Glazier. We pray for Fred Williams and for Barbara Clark. Pray for Megan Arnold and Joyce Dennis, for Doug Chenault, Gene Hammett, Barbara Mills. We pray for all the children in Arkansas who are currently in foster care and seeking adoption and permanent homes, a place where they can go and be loved. And we also pray for all of those, God, whose names sit at the top of our hearts, the front of our minds, and the tips of our tongues. We know that you are at work in all of those lives in a mighty and powerful way. We know and trust that your will is being done. And so we give you thanks for all the ways in which you love us and show us mercy. God, this morning we thank you for all of the fathers in our lives. We thank you for those biological fathers who have poured into their children, for those adoptive and foster fathers and stepfathers who chose to pour themselves into the lives of children. We thank you for grandfathers and great-grandfathers and all of those men who have come into our lives and have showed us how to live like Christ. And God, above all else, we thank you for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the heavy price he paid on the cross, a price we could not pay ourselves. We thank you for the glory and the majesty of the resurrection, the ability to break free of our sin and death through Christ. We thank you for his earthly ministry, for all that he has taught us, is teaching us, and will teach us. And God, we thank you for the power of prayer, for the ability through Christ to bring our burdens and our joys to you. We thank you for knowing how to pray. Christ taught us that with the Lord's Prayer. We'll say that together now by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and continue to worship with us this morning. This next one, many people say are played out, but it's just no better day to sing it than today. This is Good, Good Father. But I know
Seated. As we move into this time of offering, I want us to think so much about what it means to truly be free. Our freedom comes to us, true freedom comes to us from the Father through the Son. And it is because of that freedom through Christ's love and mighty sacrifice for us that we are able to move in the world to serve and to give and to do so abundantly. So during this time of offering, I pray that we feel God's presence through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are moved to give abundantly to the mission and ministries that we are called to give to. There are multiple ways to give. You can give online, you can give through text, or you can just place in the offering plate. And if you're watching online, there's a QR code where you can scan to learn all of that information. Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious, loving God, we thank you for this moment, for this opportunity to be here as your children. God, we feel the freedom that comes through Jesus Christ, born through your deep love for us. We know that in response to that love, we should move to share that love with the world. We know we are called to do that through our service, our time, our talents, through our resources. And so God, I ask today that you, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, move us to participate in the kingdom building process you call us to, so that we can impact the community around us and bring those who need to know you into that family. We ask all this in your Son's beautiful name. Amen.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. How high, how wide, how deep the Father's love. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. How pure, how strong, how deep the Father's love for us. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, If death and resurrection, why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
This time, I'd love for the kids to come down right here and chat with me for a little bit this morning. How are y'all? Good? What's today? Father's Day! Guess some more coming. What's today? You know? Is it Father's Day? Yeah. What are you going to do for your dads today? Anything special? Do you know yet? Are you going to make them a card? Are you going to give them a hug? What are you going to do? You made a card?
Outside.
Inside and outside? That was a big job. That's so good. That's so good. Just inside? That's really cool. Well, I want to talk to you today about our Heavenly Father, about God. What do you think we could do for God today for Father's Day? What do you think? We can praise Him? Anything else? Can we pray? Can we tell God we love Him? Yeah? Well, you know what? We're really lucky because the Bible tells us exactly what God wants from us today and every day. So I'm going to read you a scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Okay? It says, "What do you think God expects from you? Just this. Live in His presence in holy reverence. Follow the road He sets for you. Love Him. Serve God with everything you have in you. Obey the commandments of God. Live a good life." So how can we live a good life? What do you think that means? What's good? Be good? What's good? What does that mean? What do you think? Is it loving people? Being nice to people? Treating people fairly and nice? Well, what I think and what I took from that is God wants us to love others, and God wants us to love Him, and God wants us to tell other people about Him. Can you do that? Can you tell other people about God? Yeah? Okay, so today, we're going to spoil our dads, right? And we're not going to go buy God a tie or make a mistake. What are we going to do? Love other people, love Him, and tell others about God. All right, let's pray together, guys. Lord, thank you for our dads, and thank you that you are a father to us all. Help us to walk in all your ways so that we always please you. We love you. Amen.
With all that running, Bennett might gift his parents with a nap today on Father's Day. Our scripture reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Galatian church. We're in chapter 2, read verses 15 through 21. "We are born Jews, we're not Gentile sinners. However, we know that a person isn't made righteous by the works of the law, but rather through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. We ourselves believed in Christ Jesus so that we could be made righteous by the faithfulness of Christ and not by the works of the law. Because no one will be made righteous by the works of the law. But if it is discovered that we ourselves are sinners while we are trying to be made righteous in Christ, then is Christ a servant of sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild the very things that I tore down, I show that I myself am breaking the law. I died to the law through the law so that I could live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in my body, I live by faith, indeed, by the faithfulness of God's Son who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't ignore the grace of God, because if we become righteous through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Is it on now? Check. Check. Jason's going to get me on in a second. Maybe that's it. Maybe if I turn on the power and unmute it, it will work, right? It's so good to see y'all today. We're so glad that you are here, and I'm so thankful to see our youth back from Alabama. We're thrilled to have y'all back after a good and hot week. But anyway, we are glad that you're here. I want to begin by just sharing a couple of updates, and then we'll get into our sermon. One is that the Boy Scouts of America and the United Methodist Church finally came to an agreement for a way to go forward together, and I participated in a webinar earlier this week. We're moving from what we used to call a charter agreement to an affiliation agreement, and we'll be implementing that here at Asbury over the next few months. We have to have it done by October 31st, I think, but we are really excited that Troop and PAC 24 and Asbury will be partners for the future ahead. Amen? So that's great news. Yeah, amen. I do want to give you a heads up. Pulaski County went from low to medium COVID levels, and so we've implemented the protocols for that here at the church, but it doesn't affect a whole lot at medium. It does at high, and if we keep trending in this direction, we'll have a mask mandate and some things like that. So be watching your email for that. If that happens, pray that it doesn't. I do want you to know we don't require masks at medium COVID levels in our county. We do at high, but we also recommend them at medium. And we have had some cases here in different groups here at the church. Nick mentioned one of those earlier today. So you may want to take extra precautions if you're in small groups, Sunday school classes, and things like that, and for worship. The last thing I'd like to share is just, I want to be clear about a couple of things I said last week. The first main thing is this: it does not matter to me whether you are a staunch conservative or a staunch liberal or anywhere in between. I love you, amen? And as long as I'm your pastor here, you are welcome at Asbury, wherever you fall, amen? I recommended watching John Robbins' sermon from, I guess it's 3 weeks ago now, at Pulaski Heights for one side. If you want to see the other, John Miles from First United Methodist Church in Jonesboro is offering kind of a counterpoint to that on Wednesday evening, and you can find that on social media or First Church Jonesboro's page if you're interested in seeing both sides of that issue. But continue to pray for our church. I've never seen a United Methodist pastor rebut another United Methodist pastor's sermon before, and that breaks my heart. It really breaks my heart. But if you're interested in seeing what Reverend Miles has to say, you're welcome to watch that on Wednesday. With that being said, first of all, happy Father's Day to all of our fathers, granddads, great-granddads, and all of you. I'm so thankful for you. I'm thankful for all of my biological dads and granddads are all in the church triumphant now, and I'm missing them today. But I'm also thankful for those men who, whether they had children or not, were a father to me. And I'm thankful for them as well. So thank you so much, and I hope you have a blessed and wonderful Father's Day today. We are kicking off this brand new series. It's called For Freedom, and over the next 3-4 weeks, we'll be talking about and digging into Paul's letter to the Galatians. It's a pretty challenging book. Today, it's very appropriate since it's Father's Day, we're going to talk about the Father's greatest gift to us. And let's begin with a word of prayer. God, we do thank you for being with us today in so many ways already, and we pray now that you will fill this place with your holy power and presence so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. I want you to take just a moment and think about and remember the greatest gift that your dad ever gave you. What was the greatest gift your dad ever gave you? And while you're thinking about it, I'll share mine. Mine was actually a birthday present. And some of you might remember, it's been a long time, about a year ago, I told you the story of the terrible wreck that I had at the beginning of my senior year in high school and how my dad showed me grace. It was my fault. I was doing the equivalent of texting while driving. But dad actually gave me the keys to his car to drive home. And that act of grace was very powerful in my life. Well, I want to tell the follow-up story to this. So we were a three-car family, short one car. And so dad came to me and he said, what kind of car would you like, Hammett? And I just thought this was all, you know, hypothetical discussion at this point. So I said I'd always wanted an old Volkswagen Beetle. And this was 1987. Those had been out of production. The original series had been out of production for some time. So about the only place you'd see them is on the side of the road, you know, on fire or in a junkyard or something like that. I figured I was going to have to wait because of that wreck. I was going to have to wait till college to get a car anyway. Well, I turned 17 just about 3 weeks after that wreck, and we had moved to Jonesboro that summer. Yes, I moved the summer before my senior year. I don't want you to cry about that like I still do sometimes. But anyway, I was working really hard at making new friends. And the Friday before my birthday, some friends of mine, we were at the football game that night, go Hurricanes, and we were at the football game, and some buddies of mine said, hey, why don't you go eat with us afterward? And I said, oh, that'd be great. Let's go. And so we all pile up in somebody's car, and then we went and ate, and then they took me home. And we get to the house, and the whole street is just lined with cars. And I thought, we had just moved there. I thought, oh, my goodness. Mom and Dad are having a church meeting at the house, and I'm so tired. I just want to go to bed. Walk through the door. Of course, it was a surprise birthday party for me for my 17th birthday party. And so all my new friends are there. If you've met Luke Coop, Luke and his wife Beck have been coming to Asbury some, and they may be watching online. I think Luke wasn't in any of the pictures, but I think he was there. And some of y'all know Ricky Duke, my friend Ricky Duke. He might have been there too. But anyway, go in. Dad eventually comes up and says, son, have you looked out at the carport? And I said, no. I mean, why would you go out and look at the carport when you came in the front door? And I go out there, and he says, I think you should do that, son. And so I go out and look, and this is what I saw. I mean, that's me. I mean, I didn't see myself in the car, but I saw the car. There it was, a 1973 Volkswagen Beetle in pristine condition. My dad had taken the time to wash it and wax it, and it shined like a baby blue diamond. So dad hands me the key, and I climb in, and I don't know if you know, if you never drove an old Volkswagen, you may not know this, but there are tricks to getting one to start. And I had to take a lesson real quick to figure out how to start the thing. But when I did, it started vibrating and shaking from the back, you know, because that's where the engine was. And then the engine just started purring like a napping tiger. It was an amazing feeling. And I want to tell you today that I put Dad's gift to good use. I took that car everywhere. I drove it to the orthodontist, I drove it to school, to the barbershop, because as the picture shows, I was not always bald-headed. I would wash it once a week. This is the car that I drove to Hendricks College when I went to college. I drove that car to my first job interview. I took it on dates, drove it to my high school graduation, and I took really good care of it. I washed it once a week, waxed it once a month, and I took out the original radio very gingerly, very carefully, and saved it, and I put 100 watts of pure sonic bliss in that little car. So the point of all this is the reason that I used it and I took such good care of it is because I knew that I did not deserve that car. I had messed up. I totaled my mom's car. And yet my father blessed me with that gift and gave me another chance. And that was the best part of the gift. So, in our scripture reading from Galatians this morning, Paul tells us about God the Father's best gift to all of us. And Galatians is a lot of fun to read. I don't know if you took time to do it this week, but it's a good read. Paul is all fired up. And you may not know this, but you may not have heard this before, but many scholars believe that Galatians is the earliest piece of writing in our New Testament, in what we call our New Testament. It was written before the Gospels, before any of the other letters or any of the other documents in the New Testament. And so one way that you can look at the New Testament is that all of the other writings are a response to Paul's letter to the Galatians. It's that important. It was written in 49 AD, and so that means that for at least 14 years, Paul had been preaching the good news that following the rules does not put us right with God. Only trusting in Christ does. Now, that's a radical statement. Following the rules does not put you right with God. Trusting in what Christ has done puts us right with God. Now, Paul says that being a Christian isn't about following a whole bunch of rules. It's about following Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not feeling uncomfortable yet, let me put it a little more strongly. Paul says that being a Christian is not about obeying the Ten Commandments or any of the other laws in the Hebrew Bible. Paul says that being a Christian is not about being a good citizen. It's not about how much you go to church. It's not about how much you put in the offering plate, although that is important from the pastor's point of view. It is not about how much you pray or how much you study the Bible. It's not about how many councils or boards or committees or subcommittees that you belong to in the church. It's not about whether you drink or smoke or the people with whom you are intimate. Paul says that being a Christian is not about anything you or I do. It's about what Christ has done and what Christ is doing. Now, I can tell by the look on some of your faces you have some concerns about that, and you should. And we're going to come back to that in a couple of weeks, but Paul never takes this back. He never changes his mind about this. So just chew on it for a while. So on at least two occasions, Paul went and talked with Peter and the rest of the disciples about this, about his understanding of the good news and how he was sharing it. And Paul was sharing the good news with Gentiles. These were non-Jewish people. Paul's people, the Jews, thought that Gentiles were bad because they didn't have God's rule book, the Torah, the law in the Hebrew Bible. So Paul was telling the Gentiles that they didn't need to worry about that. They didn't have to follow the law in order to follow Christ. And he explained all of this to Peter and the rest, that since Jesus, the Son of God, declared us innocent apart from the works of the law, there's no reason for us to ask the Gentiles to obey it. Well, Peter agreed. Peter himself, when he ate with the Gentiles, violated the law by eating foods that were prohibited in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament. Peter and the others decided to stay in Jerusalem and preach the good news with the Jewish people who lived there, while Paul went out beyond Jerusalem and Judea to share it with all of the Gentiles. Now, I wish I could tell you they lived happily ever after, and that was the end of the story. But to put it nicely, the honeymoon period between Paul and the other 12 disciples did not last very long. Very soon, Jewish converts coming out of Jerusalem and Judea, where the disciples were apostling people, were converting people to Christianity, these converts start going out and preaching in Paul's churches. And when they got there, they said, well, if Paul was right, you could just do anything you wanted. Why do anything? Why worry about sinning? And so they started teaching the Gentiles that if they believed that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah, then they had to become Jewish if they wanted to reap all the benefits of that. The men had to be circumcised into Abraham's family and follow the law. Everybody had to follow the law handed down from Moses. Some of the Gentiles in Galatia believed them, and the men started getting circumcised, and everybody started following the Jewish laws. Well, when Paul heard about that, he was as wild as a wet cat. Amen? He fired off this letter to the Galatians. Now, you ever fire off an angry letter or an email, and you look back at it later, and you really did mean what you said? You just kind of wish you'd said it nicer and maybe fleshed it out a little bit? Well, Paul does mean what he says here, everything, but he doesn't spell it out for us in a way that ties up all the loose ends. He tries to do that in his letter to the Romans, which is, again, a response, a follow-up to the letter to the Galatians in many ways. So what does he say? Paul writes, "We are by nature Jews and not from Gentile sinners, knowing that one is not acquitted by obeying the law, but rather through Jesus Christ's faith." Now, that may sound strange to our ears, especially if you're reading some modern translations. The Common English Bible gets this right. The Old King James Version actually got it right when it translated verse 16 as this: "We are not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ." You see, we're used to thinking about having faith in Jesus Christ, not in trusting in the faith of Jesus Christ. For Paul, at least in Galatians, it is not our faith that matters when it comes to being set right with God. It's Christ's faith in God and in us and for us that matters. Christ's faith sets us right with God, not our faith, and certainly not our obedience to the law, to all the rules. Faithfully, Christ went to the cross for each and every one of us, not fully knowing what lay on the other side. So our faith, whatever that is, however great, however small, is simply a response to Jesus' faith. We no longer have to try to get God to accept us by our good behavior. There's nothing we have to do. We simply trust in what Christ did for us and accept it as an act, as a gift of God's grace. You may have heard this story. Actually, Tom Weir came out of the earlier service and said this was one of his favorite stories to tell. So you may have heard this from Tom a long time ago. But this is a story that comes from a guy named Robert Coleman, and he tells it about a little boy and his sister. The sister needed a blood transfusion because of a disease that she was suffering, and the donor had to be somebody who had recovered from that same disease. So the doctor explains this to the little boy, and then he tells him that he's an ideal donor, not only because he had that disease a couple of years before and recovered from it, but he was also the same blood type as his sister. Well, the doctor asked the brother if he would be willing to give his blood. And the boy thought for a moment, and his lips started to quiver. And he said, "Yes, I'll do that for my sister." So they prepared for the transfusion, and the boy smiled until the needle came out, and the doctor placed it in his arm. He watched the blood flowing through the tube, and when it was almost over, the little boy turned to the doctor, and he said, "When do I die?" Now, the boy wasn't going to die, but he was willing to give up his life to save the life of his sister. And that's the kind of faith Christ showed on the cross for us. Christ was willing to die for us. And not only that, he did give his life so that we might be reconciled to God. So that's what Paul is talking about, the faith of Jesus Christ, that willingness to not see the end result before offering one's life to rescue others. Christ died to heal us of the disease of sin. But if sin continues, what good is the medicine? Paul writes this. He says, if I'm just rebuilding the things that I destroyed, he's talking about the sin that he had in his life before he was converted. He says, I prove myself a lawbreaker. I died to the law through law that I might live in God. I have been crucified with Christ. Now I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Now I'm living in the flesh. I'm living in faith in the Son of God, the one who loved me and handed himself over on my behalf. I'm not invalidating God's grace, Paul says, because if acquittal came through law, then Christ died for no reason. If our declaration of innocence comes from following the rules, Paul says, then Christ died for no reason. And there, Paul says that the Father's greatest gift is that Christ lives in us, in our hearts. Several years ago, there was a newspaper article about a young girl, a three-year-old girl named Katie. And Katie got the flu, and so her parents were good parents. They took her to the pediatrician, and the doctor, you know, got one of the little things with a light on it and looked into her ears and said, will I find Big Bird in here? And the little girl kind of laughs and no. And the doctor asked her to open her mouth and looked in there with a light and said, will I find Cookie Monster in here? And the little girl said no, and then she went, ah. And then the doctor got the stethoscope out and put it on little Katie's heart and asked, will I find Barney in here? And she just laughed and she said, no, Jesus is in my heart. Barney's on my underwear. You know, being a true Christian is not about what you do or the rules that you follow. It's about who lives in your heart. It's about dying to sin and allowing Christ's love to pour through our hearts out into the world around us, to the broken and the despised and the rejected. I want to close with a letter that a father wrote to his daughter, Bristol, who taught him that very lesson. Listen to this letter. My dear Bristol, before you were born, I prayed for you. In my heart, I knew you would be a little angel, and so you were. When you were born on my birthday, April 7th, it was evident that you were a special gift from the Lord. But how profound a gift you turned out to be. More than the gurgles and rosy cheeks, more than the firstborn of my flesh, a joy unspeakable. You showed me God's love more than anything else in all creation. Bristol, you taught me how to love. I certainly loved you when you were cuddly and cute, when you jabbered your first words. I loved you when the searing pain of realization took hold that something was wrong, that maybe you weren't developing as quickly as your peers. And even when we understood it was more serious than that, I loved you when we went from hospital to clinic to doctor, looking for a medical diagnosis that would bring us some hope. And of course, we always prayed for you. We prayed and prayed. I loved you when you moaned and cried. Your mom and I and your sisters would drive for hours late at night to help you fall asleep. I loved you when you were confused, when with tears in your eyes, you would bite your fingers or your lip by accident. I loved you when your eyes crossed and when you went blind. I most certainly loved you when you could no longer speak, but how profoundly I missed your voice. I loved you when scoliosis began to wrench your body like a pretzel, and when we put a tube in your stomach so you could eat. We fed you one spoonful at a time, even up to 2 hours per meal. I managed to love you when your contorted limbs made changing 10 years of diapers difficult. Bristol, I even loved you when you could not say the one thing in life that I longed to hear back. Daddy, I love you. Bristol, I loved you when I was close to God and when he seemed far away, when I was full of faith and also when I was angry at him. And the reason I loved you, my Bristol, in spite of these difficulties, is that God put this love in my heart. This is the wondrous nature of God's love. He loves us when we are blind or deaf or twisted in body or in spirit. God loves us even when we can't tell him that we love him back. My dear Bristol, now you are free. I look forward to that day when, according to God's promises, we will be joined together, completely whole and full of joy. I'm so happy that you have your crown first. We will follow you someday in his time. Before you were born, I prayed for you. In my heart, I knew you would be a little angel, and so you were. Love, Daddy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you for loving us in the midst of our doubts and disbeliefs, in the midst of our faults and our failures and our inability to see the world as you see it. God, we thank you for loving us even when we can't say we love you back. We thank you for loving us in a way that no one on earth has ever loved us. And God, we pray that during this series you will teach us what it means to be truly free as Christians. Free from the disease of sin and free for loving others as you first loved us. We pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, amen. If you'd like to become a part of our church family, you're welcome to do that. If you're not a member of our church family, you'd like to transfer from another church, whether that's a United Methodist church or of another denomination, you're welcome to come down at the end of this next song. If you've never professed your faith in Jesus Christ, I'd love for you to do that. Brother Nick or I would love to visit with you about professing your faith, and we'd be glad to set up a time for us to meet with you. Same goes for those of you who are joining us online. Just get in touch with me, and I'd be glad to talk with you about how you can become a part of the Asbury Church family as well. Now let's stand, and we're going to sing a beautiful song, Run to the Father.
I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. I see it now, I'm laying it down, and I know that I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 oh. You saw my condition, had a plan from the start. Your for redemption, Lord, the price for my heart. And I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, the reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a surgeon. Father again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 oh. My heart has been in your sights long before my first breath, running into your arms is running to life from death. And I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out. Just as I am, you pull me in, and I know I need you now. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend, so I run to the Father.
I invite you to come back for the next series. Next Sunday's sermon is called No Babysitter Required. And so I'm sorry to all of you babysitters out there, but we'll see what that means. But we don't need no stinking babysitter. That's kind of, that was the alternative title. But anyway, we want to encourage you to come back for that. And would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, amen.
Dear unto